The people walking in darkness have seen a greater light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar crossed their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Jaden. Well, it's great to see you all in good voice tonight. It's a wonderful proclamation, isn't it? A carol service where we proclaim God's word through the readings, but also through the carols. And you know, the message of Christmas is just a tremendous declaration of good news from heaven to earth. And we just heard from the prophecy of Isaiah, which pointed forward to the coming of Jesus, declaring that the people who walked in darkness, they've seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. What a powerful declaration that is of good news. And it's just one of the many prophecies that were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus and the subsequent life of Jesus. You know, according to scholars, there's between 200 and 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled by Jesus in his life that we have described in the New Testament. The number varies depending on how they categorize these things. But the Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy lists 191 prophecies that it says specifically have a personal reference to Christ in them. Isn't that remarkable? In the Old Testament, we read over and over again, the Messiah is coming. There's good news on the way. And in the New Testament, we read, the Messiah has come. He's here. He's arrived. This good news that was promised has happened for us. In Luke's gospel, we heard this read earlier. I'm going to read some of that again. We hear the good news announced to the shepherds. And this is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You know, the light of the glory of the Lord has suddenly broken into the darkness of the shepherd's nighttime. And then John's gospel tells us, the start of his gospel, well, the gospels start with this Jesus coming into the world in some way. John tells us what that means in the way he describes that rather than describing the narrative. John's gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, he says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The good news is that through Jesus, God has revealed his glory to us, his grace to us, his truth to us. The glorious light of heaven has come into the world through the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's good news. And by believing he's the Son of God and receiving him as Savior and Lord, we can have our broken relationship with God restored and know him as our loving Heavenly Father and know that we're his dearly loved children. That's the good news of Christmas. Verse 12 of John's Gospel there says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, that can be any of us. All of us can believe in this Son, Jesus Christ, that God has given to us. You know, it's essential we recognize the direction of this message of Christmas. This is a message of God's grace, his undeserved favor that's come down to us. It's not a message of something from earth going up to God, but it's rather a message of something from heaven coming down to earth. God has given us a free gift, and there's nothing we can do to earn it or merit it, this wonderful gift. We can't pay for it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. And all we can do with a gift is receive it or reject it, isn't it? And that will be the most important decision we ever make in our lives, a decision that will affect our eternal destiny and destination. Well, John tells us more about this gift in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God's motivation in sending Jesus into the world was his great love for each one of us. He could have left us to perish, but he wanted us to have eternal life instead. We were in complete darkness. We were separated from God by our sins, deserving condemnation, destined to be separated from God for all eternity. But even though we'd made ourselves God's enemies, God's love compelled him to send his Son, Jesus, to save us. Isn't that wonderful news? Jesus saved us by sacrificing his life for us on the cross. He bore our sins. He bore our punishment in his own body. He took it all on himself. He took your place and my place on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so we could go free. He did that so that you and I could be reconciled to God and have eternal life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful news? You may wonder if this message is for you. Who's this message for? But the fact that the good news came to the shepherds is kind of a bit of a clue, isn't it? That the message is for every one of us. You see, the magnificent magi came, the wise men, sometimes we call them kings. They came to worship Jesus as well. But here we see ordinary working people in a field are invited to come and see what God has done. You know, the shepherds were looked down on by so many people. They were thought of as dirty, not always honest or even trustworthy. But God stoops down to the lowest people so that we know we're all included, from the greatest, like the magi, to the least, like the shepherds. He's come for all of us. This really is good news that's meant to bring great joy to all people, just as the angel said. You know, the shepherds, they were terrified, as we all would be if we had a true glimpse of God's glory. You know, this is not the God of our imagination. This isn't the God that we have made up in our own minds, that we think we can manipulate or criticize as much as we like. This isn't a God in our own image, but this is the real God, the true infinite God, infinite in power and splendor, who stretched out the universe. The God who knit you and me together in our mother's womb. The God who breathed life into us, gave us our very breath. The God who's sovereign over all creation and all powers and all authorities are under him. The God who will dictate the beginning and the end of all history. The God who's perfect in holiness. The God who sees through the surface of things and sees into the very depths of our souls, into our motivation and our deepest thoughts. The God whose judgment we may wonder about facing if we ever dare to think about our own mortality. A tiny glimpse of that glory terrified the shepherds. But the angel said, don't be afraid, because this is a message of peace from God to man, from heaven to earth, a message of reconciliation from this splendid, glorious God of ours. God is reaching out his hand to us. God was providing us with a mediator, a savior who would bridge the gap between God and each of us through his death on the cross. And we read in the book of Hebrews about the difference between facing a frightening God and facing God through a mediator, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 12, 18 to 24, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, that's burning with fire, to darkness, to gloom, to a storm. Sometimes people think about coming to God like that. You know, it's like a dark thought in our minds, isn't it? How can I approach God? What's it going to be like? It'll probably be terrible. You haven't come to a trumpet blast or a voice speaking words to those, so that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they couldn't bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than Abel, than the blood of Abel. You might not know the story of Cain and Abel, but Cain killed his brother. He murdered his brother Abel, and Abel's blood was spilt on the ground. And we read in the book of Genesis that that blood, as it were, cried out to God for justice, saying, my brother's killed me. There should be vengeance. There should be justice. But what the writer of the Hebrews is telling us is the blood of Jesus says something different. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross cries out to God saying, justice has been done. The price has been paid. Our sins have been paid for in full by Jesus. There's no need for justice anymore. Justice has been carried out for you and for me. For all the sins we ever committed, you might not have ever committed murder, I hope you haven't. But for all those sins of our thoughts, our words, our actions, all of our rebellion before God, it was all paid for by Jesus on the cross. Complete justice was carried out for your sins and my sins when Jesus died on the cross. We stood guilty and condemned before God, but Jesus stepped in and took our place. He became our substitute. So his blood cries out in victory, not in justice, and secures our salvation. And through it, we can approach God with confidence, knowing that there we'll find forgiveness, acceptance, and love in him. And that's tremendous news. It means that through faith in Jesus, we no longer need to fear death or judgment that follows death. And we no need to fear anything in life either. In fact, our renewed relationship with God through faith in Jesus brings us hope of eternal life and fills us with such a great joy, the joy that Isaiah predicted, the joy that the angel spoke to the shepherds about, and it's a joy which even difficult circumstances can't erase. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given us. You see, the hope that we rejoice in is the hope of eternal life. And as Paul says here, that's not a vain hope. We know that it's real, he says, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We know it's true, because he's poured his love into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And so we not only have this overwhelming evidence of the scriptures, we also have this very real evidence of the experience of our lives. Now, the astoundingly simple and earthly sign that validated this tremendous news was this. It was what the shepherds would see. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Just one of the messianic promises fulfilled in around the birth of Jesus. You read it in Isaiah chapter 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. It means God with us. God came to us in this humble human birth. The word of God became flesh. God himself came to be among us. Well, you know, you might wonder, you know, if God did become a man, if God did come among us in that way, what kind of man might he be? If you could even imagine this happening. Well, we're reading this great book, The Protestant Christian Evidences. I don't expect you to wade through that, but here's a wonderful bit in that. It says, if God became a man, we would expect his human life to be sinless. Jesus was. If God were to become a man, we would expect him to be a model of purity. Jesus was. If God were a man, we would expect his words to be the greatest ever spoken. Jesus' words were. If God were to become a man, we would expect him to exert profound power over human personality. Jesus did. If God were to become a man, we would expect some supernatural acts, and Jesus did them. If God were to become a man, we would expect him to manifest the love of God, and Jesus did it in dying on the cross. You know, this is the most astounding and amazing news, and we have overwhelming evidence that it's true, and we can attest, many of us here, that to its truth by the experience we've had in our own lives of God's love being poured into our lives through the Holy Spirit. There's good news for all who are willing to receive it, good news that will be the source of great joy. Have you received that for yourself? Has that wonderful hope been planted in your heart? You know, the shepherds were unhindered in their response to this news, weren't they? When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Wasn't that the only sensible, logical thing to do when you have heard such tremendous news? To go straight and see for yourself what God has done. To go straight away to see Jesus, to check it out. And this is the declaration for all mankind, isn't it? That means that God has made this invitation to you and to me. And you've heard this declaration, you've heard this invitation today in different ways as we've sung and as we've read and as I've spoken. The invitation has come to you. The declaration of good news has come to you. God's declared through the birth of his son that his arms are open wide to you. And you must decide how to respond to him. And if you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, he'll come and save you forever, for all eternity. Through Jesus, you can be forgiven and cleansed of your sins. Through Jesus, you can be reunited to your Heavenly Father and know peace with God. Through Jesus, you can be filled with inexpressible joy and hope. Through Jesus, you can gain eternal life. And some of you here, like the shepherds, may want to come running to Jesus right now as you hear this wonderful news. Others of you here may not be quite so sure, but surely, you know, this news is too profound to ignore, too important to just put on hold and make excuses about. You know, the fate of our souls are at stake here. Either God really has reached out to us in the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, or he hasn't. But isn't it really important to find out which, if your eternal destiny is at stake? Shouldn't you go and at least have a little look in the manger? Shouldn't you go and check out this Jesus and figure out what's really going on here and through him? Do you really believe that all you can touch, all that you can see, is all that there is to life? And that when you die, that's just the end? Do you really believe that? I'm telling you today that God has spoken, and he's called that out as a lie. through the birth of his son. This real and tangible moment in history, this real historical event has taken place, and it tells us that there really is much more to life than that. After the shepherds had been to see this sign, a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It was true. It was just as they had been told. They went back home, but they'd never be the same again. They'd been filled with the glory and the praises of God, which filled their hearts. Great joy had come into their hearts. You know, I want tonight to just give an opportunity to anyone who's ready to receive this good news from heaven today to be able to do that. Maybe you've been listening tonight and just saying, oh yes, this is what I've been waiting for. This is true. I know it's true, and I want that in my life. I need it, and I want to receive it. How do I do that? Well, the next few moments, I want to give you an opportunity just to simply say yes to God and to receive that wonderful gift that he's given to us that is for you. I'm going to pray, and I want to ask that you'll pray along with me. If you're not in that place right now, I just ask you to respect those who are. And as we pray, I want you to understand that it's not a magical formula when we pray. It's not about saying the right words or the fact that you've said a prayer that connects you to God. It's about really believing what God said is true, saying, I believe this. And it's about expressing your heart's desire directly to him. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's done everything that's necessary to heal that relationship. So you can reach out to him tonight in full confidence that Jesus has prepared the way for you. It's about being real and sincere, about him having come to cleanse you. It's about being willing to start a new life in fellowship with God, a life where you're no longer on your own, but you know that you can be with him forever, with Jesus at the center of your life and with Jesus as your Lord. So let's pray together. If you just bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to you now ready to receive Jesus, your Son, as my Lord and my Savior. I know that I'm a sinner, and that there's nothing I can do to save myself. But I thank you, Jesus, that you did all that was necessary for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross in my place. Thank you, Jesus, that you bore all my sin and all my shame. Forgive me and cleanse me from all my sins. I turn away now from all that I know is wrong, and I turn towards you to embrace you and your ways. Come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to empower me to do what is right and to ensure me that I'm truly yours for all eternity. Let the peace, the hope, and the joy of the Lord fill my life from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you've responded and prayed that prayer tonight along with me, and you hadn't belonged to the Lord before, if you've received the precious gift of God's Son, I want you to think about what the shepherds did next. When they'd seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, they spread the news. They told someone. Would you tell someone tonight, maybe someone you've come with who you know is a Christian, or someone in the church, if not, what you've done, that they might rejoice with you, that they might be thrilled at what God's done in your life, and that they might be able to pray with you as well, to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you're still not sure tonight, but you're thinking, well, maybe there's something in this, this is a really big deal, let me encourage you, find out more, press on to discover more about the Lord. You know, you really need to find out for sure about the truth behind this. You too can have a relationship with God restored and can know that you have your eternity secured in God. Well, if you came tonight already having received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I hope you've just been thrilled again by the wonderful grace of God, by the wonderful news that we've been given, which is for all the world. And this message of joy is for us to declare, it's for us to enjoy and revel in, it's for us to celebrate, especially this time of year. And we're going to finish tonight by celebrating, by singing together, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come."